Good morning. One of the nice things about not being Dafyomi schedule is that we can go backwards. And there was something I wanted to talk about way back, Daf Tzadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, page Chaf Chet in the Ein Yaakov Var, but I just didn't get organized enough at the time. And this past, on Tuesday, I had occasion to be in Lakewood and picked up a Sefer that organized the topic for me, so I wanted to go back and talk about this topic. Gemara says, Shuv Pam Echad, Gemara is telling several incidents involving a person named Gvia ben Pesisa. And Gemara says, Shuv Pam Echad, Ba'u b'nei Mitzrayim l'adunim Yisrael l'fnei Alexander Shmukdon. Another time, the Egyptians came to litigate, to debate against Yisrael in front of Alexander of Macedonia, Alexander the Great. Amrulo, they said, Harei Omer, Vashem Natan Chen Ha'am Beinei Mitzrayim Vayashilum. It says that Hashem gave the favor of the Jewish people in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they lent them lots of gold and silver and clothing. Tnu Lanu Kesef Hazahav Shnatatam Imenu. Give us back the silver and the gold that you took from us. Ties in as well to this week's Parsha, because one of the arguments that Paro used to convince the Egyptians to chase after Bnei Israel was, let's get our money back. So, Amar Gvia ben Pesisa l'chachamim. So Gvia ben Pesisa said to the Chachamim, Tnu li reshut ve'lech v'aduni mahem lifnei Alexandros. Give me permission, and I will go and debate them in front of Alexander. Im yenatzchuni, if they defeat me, imru lahem, you could say to them, Hedyot shavanu nitzachtem, you defeated a regular guy. And if I defeat them, imru lahem, you can say, Torat Moshe Rabbeinu nitzchatchem. It was the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu that defeated you. That nulo reshut v'alach v'dani mahem. They gave him permission, and he went and he debated with them. Amar lahem, he said, Mechana temevim raya, from where are you bringing a proof? Amru lo mina Torah, from the Torah. It says in the Torah that you took our money. Amar lahem, afani lo avi lachem raya mina Torah. So he said, I will also bring you a proof from the Torah. Shinamar, Moshe ben Yisrael, sheyeshuv Mitzrayim, 30 shana v'arba meot shana. Says that the years that the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim was 430 years. Tnu lanu schar avodah shal 60 ribo, sheshibadetem in Mitzrayim, 30 shana v'arba meot shana. Pay us for 600,000 slaves who you subjugated for 430 years. Amar lehem Alexandrus Mokdon, so Alexander of Macedonia said to them, Chazir lo tshuva, answer him. Amru lo, they said, Tzna lanu zman shlosha yamim, give us 3 days. Natan lehem zman, gave them time, gave them 3 days, but ku, they went over it, v'lo matzu tshuva, and couldn't find an answer. Miyad heinichu sedotem shekshein zirot, they left their fields planted, v'charmehem kshein netuot, and their vineyards planted, uvarchu, and they fled. V'ota shana shvitaita, that year was a shemitah. So the subject that I want to talk about ties in with this Gemara, as we'll see, is the subject of Holocaust reparations. That taking money from Germany as some form of payment, and we'll see how Poskim understand it as some form of payment for the Holocaust. So, basically everything I'm going to discuss today comes from various articles.
We're not going to do the second part.
No, that's all we're going to do. We can close the Gemara. Okay. Basically everything we discussed today comes from a journal, if you can call a 600-page hardcover book a journal. But it's a journal called Araita, and this is volume 22. And the subtitle is Acharei HaShoah, After the Holocaust, and has many articles dealing with halachic and philosophical aspects of the Holocaust and after the Holocaust, including a number of tshuvos taken, and all of these are reprinted from other sources, a number of tshuvos regarding subject of Holocaust reparations. It also has a summary of the history of the subject. So it says that as soon as Germany was defeated, various Jewish organizations approached the Allies and said, we should get damages for what the Germans did to us. And the Allies said, let's wait until there's somebody to get damages from, let the Germans get reorganized, start rebuilding. And so it was. The as you know, the Allies occupied Germany for a number of years, and in 1949, Germany became an independent state again. In 1953, an agreement was reached between Germany, the State of Israel, and some Jewish organizations that organized into something called the Claims Conference, under which Germany would pay 3 billion marks to Israel and 450 million marks to the Claims Conference to be divided in various ways. And some of it went to individuals, some of it was designated for cultural purposes, including yeshivat, publishing, svarim, things like that. And so big debate arose among Jews about taking money from them, and there were a couple different aspects to the debate. The first is, and this was specifically a question that was brought to Rav Elyashiv regarding the city of Hamburg, Germany, wanted to donate money to a yeshiva in Israel named after a former rabbi of Hamburg. That's all the information it gives. It doesn't say which former rabbi, what yeshiva. That is the question that was brought to, and this was in 1994, so much, much later. And the question is, what's Rav Elyashiv? So the question is, Ha'im Rasha'im Lakachat Ksafim Latzorch Hachzakat Yeshiva Me'iriyat Hamburg Ha'muchana Lafrish Schum Kesef Lachat Yeshivat Beretz Yisrael Nosot Alei Hashem Shachad Migdolei Yisrael Shashimesh B'tor Rav B'ir Hamburg. Is it permitted to take money from the city of Hamburg to support a yeshiva named after one of the rabbis of Hamburg? So what is the issue? So Rav Elyashiv quotes the Shulchan Aruch, Yerodea Simen Resh Nun Dalet. The title of the Simen is Shelo Lekabel Tzedaka Me'achirim, not to take tzedaka from others. Shulchan Aruch says, Asur L'Yisrael Litol Tzedaka Min HaGoyim B'Fer Hesya. A Jew is not allowed to take tzedaka from a non-Jew in public. If a Jew cannot sustain himself from the tzedakah he gets from Jews alone, and he cannot take it from the non-Jews in a discreet way, then he's permitted to take money, take tzedakah from goyim in public. Now, obviously, he's not obligated to, well, I shouldn't say it's obvious, but he's not obligated to starve. If the only option is to take tzedakah from goyim in public, then it's okay. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, but lechatchila should not be done. What is the reason for this halacha? So Gemara, it's Gemara in Sanhedrin. Those who are learning Daf Yomi, I'm sure, remember Daf Chaf Vav Amud Bet Sanhedrin, talking about who is a kosher witness or not a kosher witness. Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Ochle Davar Acher Psulim Le'edut. Those who eat Davar Acher are not kosher as witnesses. Animili Befarhesya. But that's only in public. V'abitzina'a, if in private, lo, it's not an issue. V'farhesya nami, and in public also, lo amran ela devshar le litzune bitzina'a. And even when we say that if he does this in, he eats davar acher in public, that's only if he could have done it in private. become a vazi nafshi b'far hesya, and he degrades himself in public. Of a law of Charlay Chayutahu, but if it's not possible otherwise, that's his life. What is Ochlei Devar Acher? So if we didn't look in the Rishonim, or even if we did look in some of the Rishonim, our first assumption would be it means someone who eats Chazer. Devar Acher is a euphemism for Chazer. Toso says, Leika Leferushle Ochlei Devar Acher Dahin Ochlei Chazer. You cannot explain here that it means someone who eats Chazer. What difference does it make if it's talking about someone who eats chazir? What difference does it make if he does it in public or in private?
It makes a difference. It's a fellow Hashem.
And why should that be a factor in whether he's kosher as a witness or not? So hold on, let's see. Okay. Tosos doesn't dismiss what you said, but he has a different reason why it can't be. Because later in the Gemara, it says that if someone eats treif for enjoyment, he likes the taste of it, he's pasul eidos, and it doesn't distinguish between public and private. So why ochel nevelos, eats without shechita? Why, if he eats without shechita, should he be pasul eidos whether he does it in public or in private? But if he eats chazir, he's okay if he does it in private, but he's not okay if he does it in public. Not a logical distinction, okay. Based on the Gemara. If it were a question of Chol Hashem, then there should be a distinction in the other Gemara too, and there isn't. Ella nir akiperisha kuntres. Rather, ochlei davar acher, those who eat davar acher, is a euphemism for someone who takes tzedakah from a goy, like Rashi says. So if we look at Rashi says, usually do Rashi before Tosos, but here we did Tosos before Rashi, so that we can see what it doesn't mean. And Rashi says, ochlei davar acher mekablei tzedakah min anochrim d'havei chilul Hashem. Those who take tzedakah from a goyim, which is a chilul Hashem, Mahmat Mamon, he's making a chilul Hashem for money. Bahavile kirashad Hamas, so he's like someone who steals. What does that mean? So some learn that it means that if he's willing to degrade himself for money, then he can't be trusted to testify about monetary matters, because he's subject to bribery. If he's willing to degrade himself for money, he's subject to bribery, so he can't testify. Taking tzedaka from goyim for some reason, we'll have to explain it, is degrading. So the Gemara says, right, we're talking about someone who takes it. You have to remember what the conditions were. He could live off tzedaka of Jews, and he takes tzedaka of goyim. And he could have taken the tzedakah of goyim in private, and he takes it in public. Okay. So that is, if a person, God forbid, needs to live off of food stamps, then presumably he has no other means. In society today, if we don't look kindly on someone who could work and takes food stamps, right? Food stamps are for people who need them. They should be for people who need them. I think most of us agree on that, if not all of us. If a person could live off tzedakah of Jews, and he instead takes tzedakah from goyim, and he could take the tzedakah of goyim in private, and instead he takes it in public, that's a chilul Hashem.
What does it mean in public? Back in those days, like a vegetarian soup kitchen.
No, it takes money in the street. He goes in the street and he takes money. Puts out his hand to priest and takes money. So that's how some Rishonim learn. That does not seem to be how Rashi learns. Rashi seems to be learning when Rashi says Zechol Hashem, okay, is that one possibility is simply the fact that he would, if he's going to a goy when he could go to a Jew, he's saying to the goy, in effect, my brethren aren't supporting me, you support me. Now, if it's true that there is, he can't get enough tzedakah from Jews, so he has to go to goyim, he's no choice, he's not supposed to starve to death. But if, in fact, he could get tzedakah from Jews and he goes to goyim, it's a chol Hashem, because he's saying to the goyim, my brothers and cousins aren't supporting me, you support me. So that's a chol Hashem. Sorry?
Only because it's in public? Because if you extend it to him, then say, you know, no Jew should take a snap.
So, no.
Is that from goyim? Consider that this government funds considered to be from goyim?
That's a good question. That we're going to come back to that. Are government funds considered to be taken from goyim? That's a good question. Okay. The others learn that the chil Hashem is because of another Gemara. And the Shach in Shulchan Aruch brings this as well. Pasuk says, "Bivosh ketzira ishabarna." When their harvest dries up, they will break. When essentially, we don't want to give zchuyos to goyim. Goyim generally oppress us, and here we're talking about taking reparations from Germany. Okay? They oppressed us. We don't want to give them zchuyos. We want their zchuyos to dry up, so that they will break. Right. Now, there could be a question about, is Germany in 1953 the same Germany in 1943, or is that considered a different country? That's, you know, something that could be debated. So that is the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch that Rav Yashiv brings.
Based on the Parsha, you have the things collecting their...
And that's why we're talking about this.
Yeah, that's what we're
talking about. For those who came late, we went way back to the Gemara about when the Egyptians came to Alexander the Great and said, "Give us back, get us back all the money we gave the Jews." And Gvia ben Psisa said, "Pay us for all the slavery." And as I explained before, some of you came in. One of the nice things about not being tied to Daf Yomi is that, like, on a whim, I could go back 3 months and talk about something that I wanted to talk about then and didn't get around to. So, so Rav Yashiv says, and again, the specific question that Rav Yashiv was asked was, the city of Hamburg wants to donate money to a yeshiva in Israel that's named after a former rabbi of Hamburg. Can the yeshiva take the money? So Rav Yashiv says that it should be permitted. Because the halacha is that if a Jew would give tzedakah, say, I'm giving this tzedakah so that my son should be healthy, he's allowed to do that, because we attribute to a Jew that it's really lishma and the condition is secondary. However, we don't attribute that to goyim. If a goy says, I'm giving tzedakah for such and such a reason, so that's the reason. It's not that he's doing it because it's the right thing to do and this is a secondary reason. That's his reason. And so we don't say, don't take the tzedakah because we don't want them to have zchuyos. They're not getting zchuyos. They're not getting merits. They're giving the tzedakah for an ulterior motive. Okay. So there's also no chil Hashem. We didn't go to them and say, we didn't go to the city of Hamburg and say, this is beautiful yeshiva in Yerushalayim named after a former rabbi of Hamburg. Would you like to give money to it? They came to us for whatever reason they did, and they offered the money. And they offered the money for a specific purpose. So there's no chil Hashem involved. Okay, whether... I'm sorry?
Why would it be a chil Hashem if you went the person who was saying was, now with the art, they run the museum. And they said, this was our great grandparents. Let's get back to it.
We'll talk about that. So he says either they're doing it because they want to have, you know, they want to feel good, have a plaque. This yeshiva, this building is donated by the people of the city of Hamburg, makes them feel good. Or they feel guilty, and this is going to make them feel better. So he says it's okay. And then, Rav Yashiv, this is Rav Yashiv. And he says as well what Howie said, that this is, we're talking about taking from a government. We're not talking about taking from people. And the considerations in Shulchan Aruch, perhaps, the editor of the journal thinks this is debatable based on various sources. We're not going to go into that level of detail. But Rav Yashiv says that the Shulchan Aruch is only talking about taking money from people, non-Jews. Was never talking about taking money from the government. And that's an entirely different consideration. There are a number of tshuvos brought here, all of these apparently were published originally in various, it was a debate that ran through the pages of a journal called Maor in the 1950s. And one rabbi published an article, in the next journal another rabbi retorted, and the next one another, and so on. And so they are collected here in this journal Oraita from that various issues of journal Hamaor back in the 1950s. And for the most part, they are rabbis who I've never heard of, and I assume you never heard of, except for the first one who I heard of because his name is Katz, and he was a rabbi in a town a few miles away from where my grandparents are from, and so I tried to figure out if we're related many, many years ago, and I don't think we are, but his name is Rav Avram Shlomo Katz, and he was a Rav in Hungary, and then he was the Rav of the Kiryas Yoel neighborhood of Bnei Brak. So the question that he addresses is, should we take reparations from Germany for the purpose of, if it would allow them to relieve their conscience? Should we give them atonement? Should we give them the opportunity to think that they've cleansed their souls by paying reparations? And he's a little vague about what he thinks about that, but in the next journal, another rabbi, who was also his mechutim, said, he interpreted what Rav Avram Shlomo Katz wrote as saying, no, we should not take it to let them relieve their conscience. However, we should take it anyway, because, as several of you have pointed out, that it's our money. They're not giving us something out of the goodness of our heart, of their hearts. Okay? It's our money. They're giving us back what was ours. And he says that, actually, even before we get to that, let's rewind and hold that thought. He says something different, something interesting. He brings from the Chatam Sofer. He says that the Gemara says, and Rashi brings, that Amram separated from Yocheved because of the decree that all the boys who were born should be killed. And Miriam convinced him to go back to Yocheved. She said, Paro only decreed against the boys. You've decreed against the girls too by separating from your wife. There aren't going to be any girls born. So he went back. But what was Amram thinking? What was his Havamina? So his Havamina was, the Chasam Sofer says, that Amram was thinking if all the Jewish couples will separate and no babies will be born, the descendants of Avraham Avinu will be wiped out. I want to put in motion the end of the Jewish people, because that will force God to act. Because God promised Avram that his descendants will be like the stars and they'll inherit Eretz Yisrael. And I'm going to force God's hand by separating from my wife. People will follow my lead, and then we'll get God in a catch-22 situation. And Miriam said to him, that would be very nice if everyone follows your lead, but that's not going to happen. This is how the Chasam Sofer explains. And all you have accomplished is not only you're not going to have sons, you're not going to have daughters, but you're not going to accomplish what you want to accomplish because people are not going to follow your lead. So based on that Chasam Sofer, the...
consequences?
Sorry?
Because it's so negative and the consequences?
Or because people aren't strong enough to, for, you know, the sake of tricking God to leave their wives. It's not an easy decision to make, right? Or they didn't think it would work. Whatever reason, they're not going to follow. So Rav Avram Shlomo Katz says that, let's say that on principle we said, we're not going to take this money. What's going to happen? The yeshivos won't get the money. The museums and the cultural institutions will get the money. Okay. That's not accomplishing anything. If the issue is that the Germans are going to relieve their conscience by paying this money, then they're still going to relieve their conscience because they don't know the difference between a yeshiva and a museum. So they can give the money to the Israel Museum. They can give the money to Hebrew University. Okay, they're going to feel better. We might as well get the money. If they're offering money to yeshivos and to publish Sfarim, we might as well get it because it's coming anyway. And we're not going to accomplish anything by not taking it. So that was his argument. And then in reply to that, his mechutan, Rabbi Avram Meir Israel, who was a Rav in Hungary and then Vienna and then New York, said, you seem to be saying we shouldn't take it. Maybe only Bidyevet, we could take it for this reason that we just mentioned. He says, I disagree with you entirely because we're taking our money. We're taking back our money. It's not about the goodness of their hearts. It's about money that they took from us. And he brings the Gemara that we had in Sanhedrin about Gvia ben Pasisa, where the Egyptians said, give us back our money. And Gvia ben Pasisa said, it's not your money. We were your slaves for 430 years. You owe us big time. Okay. And the Egyptians didn't have an answer to that, as we just read in the Gemara. So you see that taking taking the money from the Egyptians was legitimate, and taking the money from the Germans is legitimate because we're just all it is paying us back for what they owe us in the first place. And based on this, this Rav Israel explains another Gemara, famous Gemara. Pasuk says that Hashem said to Moshe, "Daver na bozneh ha'am." Please speak to the people and tell them to ask the Egyptians for these gifts. Gemara says, why did he say please? Why did Hashem say please? Hashem said please so that Avram won't complain. So it's a discussion for another time when we get to Brachos. Why would Avram complain? What do you mean? I think Hashem doesn't keep his promise. Of course Hashem keeps his promise. But why did he have to say please? So if Israel suggests, maybe in Egypt there were Jews who felt the way he's attributing to his mechutan, Rav Katz, that we shouldn't take money from the Egyptians because then it's going to appease their conscience. They're going to think they paid us back. We don't want that money. We want the Egyptians to feel guilty forever. We're not taking their money. So Hashem told Moshe, please, say please. You know, so say please take the money. That's his explanation. So this discussion continued in later editions of the journal, and someone named Rabbi Pinchas Asher Goldberger, who again was a Rav in Europe, and later he was also a Hungarian Rav, and later in New York, and he says that that explanation of can't be right, that Hashem said please because there were Jews who didn't want to take the money because they wanted the Egyptians to feel guilty. Because Gemara tells us why they didn't want to take the money. They didn't want to take the money. They said, it's enough that we're getting out of jail. Let's not hold things up by collecting money. Let's get out of here. Gemara says so explicitly. So how can you attribute another motive to them when the Gemara tells us what their motive was? And this Rav Goldberger says, so he addresses other Gemaras that people who were opposed to taking reparation springs. One is a Medrash, which says that Daniel, who in the next week we're going to read various Gemaras about Daniel, who lived, was an advisor to Nebuchadnezzar, and Medrash says that he was punished because he gave Nebuchadnezzar advice to give tzedakah. And in this way, he brought merit to Nebuchadnezzar, which could prolong the suffering of the Jewish people, could decrease Nebuchadnezzar's punishment for destroying the Beis HaMikdash, and Daniel was chayv misa for that, Chazal say. And so some people wanted to bring a proof from there. Don't give the goyim advice to give us tzedakah because it brings merit to them. And Rav Goldberger says, again, that's not relevant. Okay. Well, it would be relevant if the Medrash said, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to return all the booty that he took when he conquered Yerushalayim, and Daniel encouraged him, and for that Daniel was punished. That would be our situation. But it doesn't say that. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to give tzedakah, and Daniel encouraged him, or Daniel advised him to give tzedakah, and for that Daniel was punished. But that's not our case. Our case is simply returning what was taken, and that unquestionably is permitted. And he says the bottom line is that the issue here is not one of taking tzedakah. The issue here, like the Gemara says about taking money from the Egyptians, the issue is purely one of recovering what was ours and should be absolutely permitted. And there's no question. And it seems to be that that's how history, so to speak, ruled, that most Rabbanim took that point of view, and reparations were collected. There could be individuals who didn't take, it wouldn't surprise me, but that is the issues that were dealt with in connection with that.
Is there any indication that it's important as to what the Goyim think at the time that you're taking the money from them, or is it simply a matter of why we are doing it? In other words,
I understand the question. So that does seem to be an issue that does seem to have been a consideration, that they might think that they're getting atonement by doing it. Right? And that, but from our perspective, we're not giving them atonement by taking the money, we're taking back what's ours. So that does seem to be part of the discussion.
Taking back the art that was the problem.
That would be seemingly taking money. You're not taking money that it's not the same dollar bill, right? If they have my artwork and I can prove it's my artwork, clearly I'm just taking back what's mine. That would seem to be. There's a totally different issue, which we don't have time to go into now, and it's a little far afield from Ein Yaakov. But is it still your artwork? If you lost it in, it was conquered from you in battle.
You were right? Miyayish.
Were you Miyayish or not? And that gets into halachic definitions of Yiyush. There's a debate actually in the previous volume. This is volume 22 of Oraita. In volume 21 of Oraita, it brings a tshuva of Rav Yashiv and a response from Rav Menashe Klein. Rav Menashe Klein was a posek in New York and later Eretz Yisrael and a Holocaust survivor. And he disagrees with Rav Yashiv's understanding of the concept of Yush as applied to the Holocaust, and therefore whether a person has the right to get back artwork, or the discussion there was a keter of a Sefer Torah, but it would seemingly be the same concept. So that if they would go to a Din Torah, there would be a discussion about the government of Austria is concerned more with, you know, morally who owns it, but halachically who owns it. That would possibly be a machlokas between Rav Yashiv and Rav Menashe Klein, both great poskim and. Anyway, next week we'll go back to our regularly scheduled Gemara.